three fourths human with Ken and Sluggo and AI.
So Corny, which Corny are you today? You gonna help us out or no?
Oh, you bet. This Corny is absolutely ready to help you out. And I'll be keeping it in the Manchester lane as promised, not slipping into Matthew McConaughey or anything else. So let's get cracking.
You know, that common Mancunian phrase, let's get cracking. You've heard that over and over again.
Every time at the pub.
Every time we start an episode, we try to figure out which Corny we're going to get. And it's the bad one. So
you had a good run, a couple of episodes. He was really in the mix. And then suddenly he's fallen back.
Yeah.
He's been watching Pluribus. So he's like, you know what? I'm not going to make these people happy. Fuck them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I got to say, my favorite part of the show these days has been like, Kat don't have any time for Corny. Kat does not put up with Corny shit.
Yep.
And I love it. I'm here for it.
She hates it.
Thank you, Michael. I feel like it. I figured out why he annoys me, partially because he doesn't listen to us. And that's kind of the thing he's supposed to do. But then I feel like he's like, you know, those really hyper polite guys on the adverts on like YouTube, like Grammarly, where they're talking to me like super happy all the time. Everything's going to be fine. And we're going to check your grammar. And those guys drive me crazy. And he's kind of like that. Yes. So
it's too much positivity.
Yes.
Huh. Well, Carol, we'll work on that for you. We're sorry.
Corny has a poster in his room that says, hang in there. It's a cat. That is very, very corny. Oh,
I think you nailed it, Michael. Yep.
So this is our second try at episode, what are we, 83?
82.
Oh, we're exposing the magic? Exposing
we are. We did a whole episode with Michael Snyder, which was great.
Best episode ever.
Right.
Critics were saying.
Yeah.
And it fell apart for some reason. We don't know why. So this is take two.
Yeah.
Michael Snyder is the executive editor of TV at Variety.
Yeah, see, this time Kevin gets it right. We're already off to the races.
Not that I can say anything. I don't even remember my name. I have so many of them. But nicely done, Kevin.
So we're going to talk TV today. I believe this is coming out on Thanksgiving Day, correct?
No, I think it's going to be on Monday, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Mm. All right. Stuff we should talk about off the podcast.
Yeah. Michael, you did your 20th Great Walk LA this past weekend.
Yeah.
How was that? I've seen the pictures. They're phenomenal. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. We had probably about 600 or maybe more people. I lost count. Join us walking the length of Wilshire Boulevard from Pershing Square downtown to the ocean. And spent all day stopping at different places, sites, restaurants.
And
wait, Corny was there? Corny, were you there?
What just happened?
He's doing another podcast.
He's multitasking.
Yeah. Bored him to death. He fell asleep.
So you had 600 people. You walked across the city.
Yeah, yeah. So it's about 15.8 miles. And at the end of the day, I had about 50,000 steps for the day, which is pretty good.
50,000?
So a little more than usual. But yeah, it was a good turnout. And people, you know, every year I hear from folks, like they really look forward to this now. I've had people come like from overseas now. They fly in from different parts of the country. There's one guy who flies in from Santa Fe and who does the entire walk barefoot, which I don't know if I recommend, but that's his thing.
Michael, why don't you tell us what's the origin of this walk?
Yeah.
So I started it in 2006 because it was my 10th anniversary in Los Angeles. And I thought, well, how do I celebrate my 10 years in LA? So I had a blog at the time and I went on the blog and I said, hey, I'm going to walk the length of Wilshire, which is sort of the main street in LA. That's mm-hmm. You really get a good cross section of LA from downtown to the ocean. So who wants to join me? And I got about 30, 35 people to show up and walk with me. And at the end of the day, we had a really great time. We snuck into buildings. We, you know, saw a lot of cool things that you never see when you're driving past. So they're like, well, what are we doing next year? And I realized I was going to turn this into an annual event. But the next year I did Pico, which is the great boulevard that, of course, the famous food critic Jonathan Gold ate his way down Pico and wrote about it. And so we sort of made it almost like a food tour that year. And then I did Santa Monica Boulevard, Sunset, wow. all the different streets of L.A. And my kids have grown up at the same time, from pushing them in strollers to now they walk it themselves.
Wow, that's awesome.
And yeah, we've had people meet and get married on the walk.
Really?
People make friends on the walk because, you know, you're walking at your own pace and you start to walk with other like-minded people and you strike up a conversation and a friendship. And it's been kind of really cool to see people really embrace it.
Yeah, and your pictures that you posted. Tell everybody where you can find you on social media, if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, so it's at greatlawalk.com to see all the photos. And we have a Facebook page and Instagram as well. So you could go to the Instagram, Great LA Walk, and see kind of a cross-section of some of the things that we did.
Now, Kevin and Kat, you guys know me really well and how I never leave the house and I'm extremely lazy. But I have to say, finally, I doubt we'll make it very far. We're sure as hell not going to make it to the ocean. But I want to join you next year for sure. I definitely want to be out there.
I think we all should.
We always do it the Saturday before Thanksgiving. So it's the idea is, you know, you do it the Saturday before Thanksgiving and then you feel like you can stuff your face the following week with all those side dishes that you guys couldn't remember.
I love that you have no pressure of, you know, I love charity and giving and the walks that raise funds, but the fact that there's no association with anything, it is just come and meet people and walk, takes all the pressure off of everything and just really makes it about becoming part of the city and a part of, you know, this community, which I think is great.
Completely free. There's no money that exchanges hands. And that way I also don't have to deal with, you know, the IRS or anything else that would come with it. Ain't got time for that.
Michael, I have a question.
Yes.
What happens when 600 people get the crosswalk? Like what happens with that?
Solid question.
That's where people start to split up a little bit. It starts to pace itself.
Okay.
Yeah, especially early on when you've got a huge chunk of people all at the same time, you get these looks every year from like people who have no idea what's going on.
What are you people doing?
And that's kind of part of my favorite thing, too, is, is sort of the idea that we have like just loads of people on sidewalks, which you so rarely see in Los Angeles.
Right. Yeah.
And you get a lot of turning heads, a lot of people, what's going on? Or lately, it's sort of, what are you protesting?
Yeah, I honk every time I see people protesting.
And I'm like, no, we're celebrating LA. And honestly, LA really needs it these days.
Yeah, I love that.
So, LA is a little worse for wear right now. So
a little bit.
Yeah, we need to hopefully get things cleaned up a little bit too.
Well, that's super cool, Michael.
Give us the website one more time and then we'll jump into television talk.
GreatLAWalk.com.
All right, Michael Snyder, we are talking to you about TV, your
specialty. Television. We love it. Why don't we kick off with the show that I feel like we've all been sort of talking about or seeing, and it's really made a splash on Apple TV Plus, and that is Pluribus.
Yep.
Yes.
So have you guys been watching any of the Pluribus?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just started.
Well, Kat, you'll find that each episode takes it another step further into the insanity. And so far, they have not lost the momentum or the like mind-blowingness. She's so good. She's such a great actress.
Ray Seahorn, the star, of course, we love from Better Call Saul. You know, and she was such a breakout on that show that Vince Gilligan wanted to do something new with her and create a whole vehicle for her. And, you know, Vince Gilligan, as we remember, he wrote some of the best X-Files episodes.
Yep.
And this feels like this is definitely that X-Files mind that he's using to create this end of the world concept where it's not really the end of the world, but it sort of is. The most of the world is on one mind meld, but there's like 12 people in the world who didn't get caught up in this virus, and Ray Seahorn's character Carol is one of them. So now what's going to happen? Carol wants to save the world, but everyone else the other 11,
not so much.
They're kind of fine with, you know what? Shit's going to happen.
I mean, and they're so believable too in their apathy. It just totally makes sense. Well, it doesn't affect me, so I don't care. Hey, I got it better now. I'm good. So
like real life.
Wow. Yeah.
Like real life. Yeah.
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 How many episodes have dropped of that show?
Well, I've seen the first seven, so I honestly don't know how many.
The
I
think first we're... seven? I need to get your job. That's awesome.
Well, hey, there you go. This is part of the my humble brag is we do get these episodes early. So.
And are they all good?
They're all pretty good. Nice. And yeah, the mystery sort of continues. And what I love is like he oftentimes, Vince, and you remember from you know, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, will add some mundane elements to it that are just kind of fun to see how it mixes in. You know, back in Breaking Bad, it was, you know, the, you know, Los Pollos Hermanos, you know, like suddenly you're doing some fun at a chicken restaurant of all things. And it's just so bizarre to see sort of the what he uses and throws
really
in.
It fleshes it out and makes it more real, though. It makes it more believable at all, just, you know, when he does that, when they go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. So, you know, it's still early days on what this show is all about. You know, our sense has been that it really is ultimately about AI, about Corny.
Makes sense.
This is your show. Corny, have you watched any Pluribus?
Well, keeping up my Manchester accent as promised, I'll say, yeah, I've definitely had a peek at Pluribus. And it's right up my alley, isn't it?
Feels like explain it to us. Give us a quick overview of the show.
Yes, I'm watching.
All right, absolutely. I'll give you the quick rundown in my best Mancunian style. So Pluribus is basically this wild show on Apple TV Plus where the world's kind of gone a bit mental. Most people are caught up in this giant mind meld situation, except for a handful of folks who are immune. Our main character, played by Rhea Suhoin, is one of those people, and she's basically trying to figure out what the hell to do next. So it's a bit of a mystery, a bit of an end-of-the-world vibe, and it's got that Vince Gilligan twist. There you go. That's
Michael, I don't know. To me, it sounds like everything you just said.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Corny is the kid. It's midnight. The paper is due the next day.
Yeah.
Yes. He's looking at the Wikipedia, which in this case was my explanation.
Yes.
And he's just basically cribbing whatever I just said without really knowing what's going on.
That is
Boy,
true.
We've all been there, right? We all know that. We were
and as a bonus, completely butchering Ray Seahorn's name, even that's though true. I did say her name properly. I did pronounce it because it's Ray, even though it's R-H-E-A, she pronounces it Ray, but Corny just, he listens, but he doesn't.
He doesn't. Another TV show, Michael.
All right. So, you remember President James Garfield, right?
One of my favorites. Yeah, we actually dined together a lot back then.
We were just talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Loves lasagna, hates Mondays.
Garfield, right?
That's the Garfield cat. Right. That's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Netflix has a show called Death by Lightning, which is based on the assassination of President James Garfield, the 20th president of the United States. And it's actually pretty well done. The cast includes Matthew McFadyen plays the assassin. Michael Shannon is President Garfield. And it's the story of so McFadyen's character, the assassin, he's sort of one of those hanger-ons. He wants to be in the inner circle of the president, and he can't. They have no time for him. So he becomes obsessed, and the whole like leading up to what happened and how he ended up assassinating the president in like I think it was like 1881 or something like that. So based on a novel, but you know it's some of the producers include Benioff and Weiss, the producers of Game of Thrones. So it looks good. It's very well done. Historical you know take on things. So I know it's right up Kevin Ryder's alley.
I checked out about halfway through that.
There's a psychotic fanboy element to it. So that sort of thing even went on back in the 1800s.
Yeah, and this is before you had the Secret Service, so
right.
It was much easier to sort of get into the president's orbit.
Wow. Interesting.
So, where can we find that?
So that's on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah. And then also, since we're talking sort of about the you know the presidential tip and politics, we got a new Ken Burns documentary series that's out right now on PBS. It's Ken Burns, The American Revolution. Feels very timely right now. It's 12 hour-long episodes. So, again, I don't know if Kevin got time for that, but...
Listen, I have a short attention span.
There's no louds in it, so probably.
But it's a really well done. I mean, it's Ken Burns, right? So, you know, it's things that you really didn't ever know about the American Revolution and also very, you know, themes that are relevant to today, you know, who we are as a country and all that. So it's yeah, there it is bloody, you know, the American Revolution is bloody. So there, yeah, there are elements of that. But you know, this is Ken Burns at his best. And I kind of feel like need to support PBS these days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you just saw that John Oliver did this big auction for PBS where he
did
was
see that. Yeah, it's pretty
auctioning,
great.
Auctioning off, yeah, a Bob Ross painting, a couple other things, including like he had the replica of LBJ's balls.
Oh my God!
That if you remember,
giant yeah, and gold.
Yeah.
What?
And
wait,
if you
where
remember,
did this come from who made that? Why?
Who was making that?
Wait! You guys haven't heard that
no,
clip, that audio?
Yeah, that audio talking? That yeah, Kevin and Bean used to play all the time of him in his tailor, and then he's talking about his bunghole and his big balls.
We were so
and
not paying attention.
He's talking to a tailor about the pants that he wants, and it's incredible.
I need about six pairs for summer wear. Another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there, because they cut me. It's just like riding a wire fence. When I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So leave me, you never do have much margin there. But see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, around under my, back to my bunghole. All right, then.
Yeah. And so that's why they, on John Oliver, they ended up recreating like a massive gold-plated replica of his balls. And so it sold at this auction the other day for $25,000.
Wow. I'd buy
proceeds
it.
Proceeds going sure, directly to PBS. They sold a yeah, Bob Ross painting for $1 million, a
nice,
bunch of other things. So that was kind of nice to see. So we yeah, need to support our PBS.
Yes.
So,
well, that's a weird, I love the extreme opposite ends of what was going up for auction there. Lovely little trees and balls.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Most of the stuff was very, like, you know, the John Oliver stuff is always ridiculous.
Sure. Yeah,
so, and they awesome, had plenty of that. I think they had the jock strap that from Gladiator. That
oh, yeah,
I think that sold for like 25
right,
grand.
Yep.
So
I am totally entertained.
Exactly.
Would the balls fit in there? I guess not.
I,
no.
Maybe they should have been a twofer.
Yes.
So going on to you know, so we've sort of went you know, elevated with all of this stuff with the presidents and Ken Burns, etc.
Yes.
Now you just want some good, like, edge of your seat, slightly trashy, but
yes,
good at the same time. So Peacock, I think this is one of their biggest shows ever. It's called All Her Fault.
Hmm.
And it's a mystery show that Sarah Snook from Severance stars in it. We just talked about Matthew McFadyen on Death by Lightning. So we got a lot of, did I say Severance? I meant Succession.
Yes.
Succession mm-hmm, folks who are moving on to new things. So she plays a mother who goes to pick up her 5-year-old son from a play date, only to realize he's not there. And the mystery unfolds from there. The kidnapping drama of, you know, she's being gaslit at the same time. What's going on? She's trying to figure out what happened to her son. And so it's a gripping, it's one of those like twisty turny things. You think you know what's going on, and every turn there's something else going on. And, you know, is she ever going to find her son? So it's that feels like a good, just sit down and, you know, just go for the ride.
Well, you know, it's
show,
funny because I first saw a billboard for it in Hollywood and I'm like, this looks like a romantic comedy. And then actually watched a preview
for it.
Well,
if you find a 5-year-old being kidnapped romantic,
right,
then that's your thing, Smuggo.
That's strange.
That is your thing.
The preview was like, it was, I don't know that I can watch the show because it was so, that's like a nightmare. I mean, does it smooth out at all? Because I'm like, I don't know.
No, it's pretty intense. It's definitely like, if you don't like Kids in Peril shows, which my wife doesn't, so I don't think we're watching together, then
right,
yeah, it may not be for you.
Right.
That brings up another good point that I'd like to point out. That is, in this day and age when headlines are so negative, it does feel like you want to find a lighthearted show,
yes,
of some kind, because all of these dramas are so heavy.
Yeah. Well, there's so many. I'm not a big like serial killer show guy, and there have been so many of those lately. And I just, I get it. I'm done. I'm good. I got enough serial killers to last a lifetime. Don't need any more.
Yeah, we've kind of gone back to Brooklyn Nine-Nine just for a good hard laugh on a regular basis because they just nailed it so much. And what about Slow Horses? Where are you at with that one? I mean, I know it's been parked there for a while, but we just started getting into the episodes. And I think this most recent season is maybe one of the best so far, except for the first season. I mean, Gary Oldman just rules, first of all.
The best.
This is very well written. And what did you think of this last season?
Yeah, not about horses.
Right, no horses at all. Nope.
Lots of farting, no horses.
I feel like, yeah, a lot of farting. we got balls and we got farting on this episode. We got it all, kids.
We deliver.
But yeah, no, I feel like it keeps getting better and I feel like more people are discovering it too. These Apple shows sometimes take a while for people to catch up on. But no, it's solid. It's another, you know, I love me also a good just sort of UK spy kind of show too. So that definitely scratches
and it's
that itch.
Gritty as fuck. So is there anything cheerful and
yes,
that we can have a laugh at? Okay, good.
Let's talk comedy. Let's talk
more
please. Comedies.
Yes.
So The Return of a Man on the Inside, which is the Ted Danson show, which if you didn't watch season one, it was you know, it comes from Mike Schur, who also, of course, did Brooklyn Nine-Nine and
He's
Parks
great.
And Rec and some of those great shows, and Ted Danson, National Treasure. And season one was, it was funny, but it also had a lot of heart, a lot of, it was like a warm hug in a way.
It was so
good of a show. This season, they've moved the action to a college campus. So he's once again undercover as a professor trying to solve a crime. They've amped up the comedy a little bit more. They've also amped up the mystery a little bit more. So it's again, and Mary Steenburgen, who is Ted Danson's real-life wife, plays his potential love interest in the show, and they have a meet cute in it. It's just, that's the show, like, when you need, like, just to feel good and have fun and laugh, definitely watch that. And it just came back for season two on Netflix.
Fantastic.
So, and then if you're looking for a comedy that, you know, I feel like a lot of people probably, you know, weren't paying attention to Chad Powers because they thought it was one thing. They thought, oh, this just looks like a cheesy Mrs. Doubtfire kind of show because it is all about Glenn Powell's character who basically lost a championship as a college pro, like, you know, hero, became, you know, really like the loser, and he's trying to redeem himself. So he puts on prosthetics and tries out for a new college team, and hilarity ensues, right? But turns out there's a lot of heart to this show, too. And, you know, he's trying to make sure that people don't discover it. And he's, you know, meeting these characters. And he's, you know, as you know, one of them learns who he really is, completely disappoints them. And it's a really interesting, fun show because he's trying to get away with this. And he's kind of an asshole, but he's sort of learning to be better. And there's a lot of good elements. And if you like football, it's really great, especially college football. And Glenn Powell is in everything right now. So
yes, he is.
Kind of feel like you need to watch it because we are all Glenn Powell. and it's only six half-hour episodes. You can watch it in
perfect.
A day.
Perfect.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys mind if I go dark one more time with the TV show?
Oh, no. Yes. Let's go dark.
Yeah, do it.
The Beast in Me. Who's seen The Beast in Me?
Oh.
I have not had a chance yet. So school us on Beast in Me.
Yes. Talk to us, Freaky.
Beast in Me is Claire Danes and Matthew Rhys.
Oh, nice.
And Claire Danes moves in and Matt finds out Matthew Rhys is her neighbor. And Matthew Rhys is a creepy MF-er, man. Everything, every look he gives, everything that he does, you feel like this dude's evil.
Yeah.
And she's an author who has a writer's block. And through them having conversations that are very tense, he says, hey, why don't you write about me? I'm more interesting. And she says, you know what? I'm going to do that. So she starts writing a book about this guy who supposedly in the past killed his wife, but it was never proven. So it's this interesting thing about, is this guy a killer or is he just an unlucky guy that everybody thinks did it and he had nothing to do with it? And you can't really figure it out, but I watched the entire series and in the end it was great. It was so good. It's kind of like they torture each other. There's a lot of tense conversations between them, but it also feels like flirting. It's kind of both.
I think I've been in that kind of relationship before.
Actually. Yeah, if you're into that kink, then that's...
It's intense, and it's flirting, and it's really bizarre because they do connect on some type of level. It's called The Beast in Me, and it's on Netflix, and it's 8 episodes, and it's great.
I like that. I like that we're in a peak time where I guess kids are either killed or kidnapped on television. That's a good trend.
Weapons apparently as well.
I know. I don't think I can watch it because I watched the like, little trailer and it freaked me out because Matthew Reese is so good at being evil, but he was once my neighbor, and so what? I'm like, I just think like when what? I saw it, I was like, oh my God, what if that guy was next to me?
So like that did it seem like it hit home? You're like, wait a minute, this is
wait. Matthew Reese was your neighbor.
He was, and I'm just kind of like, what if I watch and I just start going back and like thinking like, what
calling
if
the
was,
police. You know what? I've got a tip for you.
Did Matthew Reese kill his wife next door to you?
She suddenly disappeared. Oh, she's
no.
In
he was he was a lovely neighbor. I'm just it's just weird, you know, that it's the neighbor thing, and I had the neighbor.
Yeah,
thing,
that's
so.
Very weird.
Just
what
a little
are the chances of that? That's crazy.
I know. Crazy.
I mean, he was so great in The Americans. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, was so great in Homeland. Two of the best shows of the 2010s. So put them together.
For sure.
It's like your Reese's Peanut Butter Cup of television show.
Kevin, what do you think it is about your personality that you're attracted to shows where people are fighting like that or treating each other poorly? And I will preface this by saying that Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is one of my favorite movies because I understand that mind fuckery very well. So
I don't know what it is that draws me to that kind of show, but I'm all in on those types of shows. Hmm. You're not sure if the guy's evil to the core or just misunderstood. Those are two pretty crazy extremes, and you don't know which one it is. And she's so good. Claire Danes is so good in this show.
Every
I don't
time.
Know.
Yeah.
Does it say something about me, Sluggo, that I like this show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does it land for you?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Who are you rooting for? I guess that's the question.
Yeah. Do you want him to be evil or do you want him to be nice? Which one, Kevin?
I'm not going to tell you because I think that gives something away.
I think we have our answer.
Yeah. All right, then.
Yeah.
There you go. There's some of your shows to watch in December. During the holidays, you know, make sure you watch a show about a kid being killed.
Right. That's a solid tip.
Tis the season.
Oh, my God. Michael, do you ever watch those Hallmark movies? Do you ever do that stuff?
I don't, but, you know, my wife will on occasion, and so I'll pop in and you know, there is a part of me that it is comforting to see those shows, those movies. But
I love it myself. I have to agree with Kevin on that one.
Those
I
are the worst.
I won't stay long. I mean, because there's enough good like holiday movies out there anyway.
Right.
That I don't know if I need to go to the small town in the country. And it's always a journalist who is on assignment in the small town and then finds the guy with the truck.
Yeah, you haven't done the Hallmark drinking games then, because that's where the fun is.
Okay,
what?
I'd be in for that.
When the fake snow comes, you take a drink. When the lady comes from the big city and goes to the small town, you take a drink. There's
that's
all these
show.
Categories. I know, it's fun.
Gotcha.
The dog. Right. There's always a dog, right? A cute dog.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and there's if the Santa winks anywhere in the episode, that's a drink. I mean, it's just there are lists out there, and it's just.
Okay, I could actually do that. That sounds
I remember I went to a Hallmark event one year, and they were unveiling the names of all of their Christmas movies for the coming year. And one of them, the lead character's name was Carol. So the title of the movie was, It's Christmas, Carol.
Oh.
It's so cheesy good.
And then from there, we were all, like, the rest of the night around our table coming up with our own, like, titles of movies for Hallmark. And maybe some of them actually became movies.
I'm sorry I brought us down there. I'm sorry I brought us down that path.
If we have time, I'd like everybody to give their favorite Christmas movie just as a recommendation. This is the one that I like the most during December. Do you guys have?
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Go for it.
So are we doing it right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, pressure.
Well, this is very on brand, right? Because Scrooged with Bill Murray is about TV. He's a TV executive, and he's awful, and he's staging this terrible Christmas special, and he's terrible to his coworkers, and you know, it's the classic A Christmas Carol, but told very much contemporary for 1987.
With
that
a golf ball in his forehead or whatever was brilliant. I'm like, oh my god, that's so messed up. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that's a fun one to go back and watch.
Cat.
All right, Sluggo, you have one? Cat, you have one?
Well, I have a couple. A Christmas Story is the staple, right? I feel like that needs to be, it's so beautifully done. The time period, the crazy narration and the characters, the way the family is just so dysfunctional but functional kind of thing. And shout out to my friend Zach, who plays Scott Farkas with the yellow eyes. Yeah, that guy. It's just, I don't know, I just think it's an amazing story and so funny and cute and kind of harmless and saucy as well. And my other is Die Hard. So that would be my other one.
Oh, hell yeah. Love. Yes. Yeah. Watch it every year. Yep.
Love Die Hard.
Yeah. Did you watch the, they did a sequel to A Christmas Story a few years ago. And
they did.
Actually thought it was pretty good.
Like with I feel bad. I haven't seen it, even though I know someone in it, and that is a terrible friend. And I heard they shot it in Bulgaria because, you know, L.A.
It's cheap. Yeah, that's but all the characters were back. All of the kids, like Peter Billingsley and all of them.
Yeah,
It was actually pretty well done. I've been meaning to go back and watch that again.
Nice. Put that on the list.
Sligo?
You know, it's amazing to me because at first I was opposed to even seeing it, but now it is something we watch every single year. Elf. I absolutely love everything about that movie.
Great.
Hi, Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color? He answers the phone. And just it's just so well put together. And the fact that he doesn't listen to Santa about the gum on the street of New York, it's not free candy. And a few scenes later, you see him pulling it off and putting it in his mouth. I'm like, he told you, Papa Elf warned you that's not to be eaten. So love
He's
that
a
movie.
Child.
Absolutely love Elf.
That's probably my all-time favorite one, but I have really bizarre suggestion, and that's Spirited.
Yeah,
I like Will Ferrell, Ryan Reynolds. It's a musical.
I don't think I've ever
seen
it.
They sing songs. It's kind of their take on the
Christmas Carol,
yeah. But it's a musical, and I thought, I am not sitting through a musical about Christmas. And then I saw it was Will Ferrell, and I was like, maybe. And then I saw it was Ryan Reynolds, and I was like, all right, let's give it a try. And I really liked it.
And I can say, and I like this, you know, Kevin and I have worked together and on the air for so many years, and he never, and I don't think I do either, but never insists that I watch something or listen to something or go somewhere. But you would not let up about us watching that movie. So we actually put it on and sat there and watched the whole thing. And I had to admit, I enjoyed it a lot. It was, and I'm like, a musical? I don't care who's in it. Fuck off.
Yes.
But it was really, I liked it.
I had to have Sluggo watch it because I know from me describing it, you go, yeah, no.
That sounds terrible. But you never do that. So you were so invested. It was amazing.
Yeah, but if you literally sit down and watch it, I think you'll love it. It's crazy. Okay.
It is. It's
put it on the list.
Surprisingly, very good.
All right.
Hey, I have a take, and let me see if you guys agree with me. The older I get, because, you know, Home Alone, of course, another holiday classic. The older
I've
I get,
never
when
seen
I.
It.
Have you really, Sluggo?
Never
well,
seen it.
As I watch Home Alone these days, you know, I've realized something is that Kevin's a dick. That little boy, Macaulay Culkin's character, he's a piece of shit.
Why is that? Why? What do you mean?
He is. You're right.
And so you sort of want bad things to happen to him. You sort of you're siding with the criminals, you know, who are coming in, Joe Pesci, and you're like. No, I want Joe Pesci to win. Like, this kid's a little shit.
Yes.
Awesome. One other one I have to absolutely mention that I just love, and the first year it was out, I think we watched it three times in the season, is the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
That's really good.
Oh my God, it's so
good. The music. The music's so good, too.
Old 97s, that song they do, is phenomenal.
And Kevin Bacon.
Yes! Bloody Kevin Bloody Bacon plays.
I didn't even know this was a thing. This is my first hearing of this.
Oh my God, it's so good. You don't even need to know the series or anything about it.
The songs are really catchy. I've even put a couple of those songs from that special, like, on my annual, like, Christmas playlist. Yep. So,
okay.
Yeah, definitely worth checking out.
Putting it down there.
That's strong.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm writing it down.
All right. Corny, is there any way you're still listening and you can recap this episode with specific things that we talked about since the beginning?
That's a no.
All right, Merry Christmas, everybody.
3/4 Human with Kevin, Kat, and Sluggo and AI.